Now, Minister Malcolm X was not in the United States at the time that this hoax was given a big blast to the papers. And this is his first chance to speak on this question in New York since his return from Africa. So I give you that further introduction, Mr. Malcolm X.
Mr. Chairman, fellow speakers, friends. I didn't know until this afternoon about the forum this evening, but one of my co-workers, who was very able and capable, Brother James, told me about it, and I couldn't resist the opportunity to come. I read in a newspaper recently, or at least before I left, some writer said one of my weaknesses is that I can't resist the platform. Well, that's perhaps true. Whenever you have something to say and you're not afraid to say it, I think you should go ahead and say it and let the chips fall where they may. So I take advantage of all platforms to get off my mind what's on it. Also, they say travel broadens your scope, and recently I've had an opportunity to do a lot of it in the Middle East and Africa, and while I was traveling, I noticed that in most of the countries that have recently emerged into independence, they have turned away from the so-called capitalistic system in the direction of socialism. So out of curiosity, I can't resist the temptation to do a little investigating wherever that particular philosophy happens to be in existence, or an attempt is being made to bring it into it. Thirdly, the first time I ever heard about the Blood Brothers, I happened to be in Nigeria, in West Africa. And someone, a doctor, who had a Nigerian, but who had spent too much time in Europe, was the first one to bring it to my attention and asked me about it. It didn't make me sad at all. And I don't see why anybody should be sad or regretful, or if that's the word, in any way, shape, or form, if such does exist. I recall in 1959, when everybody began to talk about the black Muslims, all the Negro leaders said no such group existed. In fact, I recall on the Mike Wallace show, Roy Wilkins was asked about the black Muslims, and he said he never heard of it. And then they flashed a picture of him on the screen shaking hands with me. And I think one of the mistakes that our people make, they're too quick to apologize for something that might exist, that the power structure finds deplorable or finds difficult to digest. And without even realizing it, sometimes we try and prove that it doesn't exist. And if it doesn't, sometimes it should. I am one person who believes that anything the black man in this country needs to get his freedom right now, that thing should exist. As far as I'm concerned, everybody who has caught the same kind of hell that I have caught is my blood brother. And I have plenty of them, because all of us have caught the same hell. So the question is, if they don't exist, should they exist? Not do they exist, should they exist? Do they have a right to exist? And since when must a man deny the existence of his blood brother? Like denying his family. Excuse me if I speak a little loud here for a moment. If we're going to talk about police brutality, it's because police brutality exists. Why does it exist? Because our people in this particular society live in a police state. A black man in America lives in a police state. He doesn't live in any democracy. He lives in a police state. That's what it is. That's what Holland is. And I recall this book that just came out, written by Silberman, called Crisis in Black and White. I advise everybody here, read it. Crisis in Black and White by Charles Silberman. In my opinion, it's a good analysis of the problems that confront black people as well as white people in this country, and it goes right down to the root cause that has produced all these conditions, and it doesn't apologize for anybody. It shows where the fault lies on both sides. And this book stems from an article that the author originally wrote in Fortune magazine, the March issue, 1962, at which time he stated that if something isn't done to relieve the black people in these Negro communities across the country of the injustices and frustrations that they are confronted with every day, that this country would see a time when the Negro communities from coast to coast would become like the Casbah. The Casbah, I fortunately was able to visit myself 2 weeks ago. I visited the one in Casablanca, and I visited the one in Algiers with some of the brothers, blood brothers. They took me all down into it and showed me the suffering, showed me the conditions that they had to live under while they were being occupied by the French, who were supposedly their friends, supposedly their protectors, supposedly their benefactors. They showed me the conditions that they lived under while they were colonized by these people from Europe. And they also showed me what they had to do to get those people off their back. The first thing they had to realize that all of them were brothers. Oppression made them brothers. Exploitation made them brothers. Degradation made them brothers. Discrimination made them brothers. Segregation made them brothers. Humiliation made them brothers. And once all of them realized that they were blood brothers, they also realized what they had to do to get that man off their back. They lived in a police state. Algeria was a police state. Any occupied territory is a police state. And this is what Harlem is. Harlem is a police state. It's the police in Harlem, their presence is like occupation forces, like an occupying army. They're not in Harlem to protect us. They're not in Harlem to look out for our welfare. They're in Harlem to protect the interests of the businessmen who don't even live there. They're there. The same conditions that prevailed in Algeria, that forced the people, the noble people of Algeria, to resort eventually to the terrorist-type tactics that were necessary to get the monkey off their back, those same conditions prevail today in America, in every Negro community. And I would be, other than a man, to stand up here and tell you that the Afro-Americans, the black people, who live in these communities under these conditions, are ready and willing to continue to sit around non-violently and patiently and peacefully looking for some goodwill to change the conditions that exist. No, and you are out of your mind. If you think that our people, it's easy for you to live in another neighborhood and be sympathetic to the cause and then come in with some non-violent tactics and think that we too will think that that's sufficient. But if you had to live under those conditions and suffer what our people suffer, you would have gotten rid of that nonviolence a long time ago. And Police Commissioner Murphy is a dangerous man. He's dangerous because either he lacks understanding, or he has too much understanding and knows what he's doing. If he is functioning as he is from lack of knowledge and understanding, he's dangerous. And then if he's doing as he is from understanding, he's dangerous. Because what he's doing is creating a situation that can lead to nothing but bloodshed. Almost every public statement he makes is designed to give the police in Harlem courage to resort to tactics that are inhuman. And in my opinion, this type of incitement on the part of the police commissioner to make these policemen act other than they should stems from a lack of understanding of the true spirit that exists among the young generation in Harlem today. They have been, he must have been misinformed by some of that old generation who has been ready and willing to suffer brutality at the hands of someone just because he has on a uniform. Nowadays, our people don't care who the oppressor is. Whether he has a sheet or whether he has on a uniform, he's in the same category. And you'll find that... You will find that there is a growing tendency among us, among our people, to do whatever is necessary to bring this to a halt. And when you have a man like Police Commissioner Murphy, and I'm not against the law, I'm not against law enforcement. You need laws to survive, and you need law enforcement officers to have an intelligent, peaceful society. But we who have to live in these places and suffer the type of conditions that exist from officers who lack understanding and lack any human feeling or lack any feeling for the fellow human being, we who have to suffer these things are beginning to see where we are not being considered at all when they select the type of persons that they send into Harlem to enforce the law. So, I'm not here to apologize for the existence of any blood brothers. I'm not here to minimize the factors that hint toward their existence. I'm here to say that if they don't exist, it's a miracle. The recent law that they passed, the police, the permission to walk in anybody's house without knocking, is an anti-Negro law, in blunt terms. It's just an anti-Negro law. This law will probably do more to set off a... Nowadays, you're not going to have race riots anymore. You'll have a race war. The day of race riots are outdated. A riot is something that's contained to a certain area. Nowadays, any kind of eruption like that takes place, you'll find that it will have a chain reaction, it will pop up everywhere, and it won't be limited to this continent. Any effort today that is made to bring massive retaliation against the black population of this country, you will find people who look like the oppressors also experiencing, also realizing how it feels to be the victim of mass retaliation in other countries. If those of you who are white have the good of the black people in this country at heart, my suggestion is that you have to realize now that the day of nonviolent resistance is over, that the day of passive resistance is over, that the day of peaceful demonstration, what kind of demonstration is a peaceful demonstration? It's over. Anything that is so much an injustice that you are justified to demonstrate against it, then note the one who is the author of the injustice is not qualified to lay the ground rules to you and me on how we're supposed to go about removing that injustice. I can't see it. The next thing you'll see here in America, and please don't blame it on me when you see it. You will see the same things that have taken place among other people on this earth whose condition was parallel to that of the 22 million Afro-Americans in this country. The people of China grew tired of their oppressors, and the people rose up against their oppressors. They didn't rise up nonviolently. It was easy to talk about the odds were against them, but 11 of them started out. And today those 11 control 800 million. They would have been told back then that the odds were against them. As the oppressor always points out to the oppressed, the odds are against you. When Castro was up in the mountains of Cuba, they told him the odds were against him. Today he's sitting in Havana, and all the power that this country has can't remove him. They told the Algerians the same thing. What do you have to fight with? Today they have to bow down to Bendella. He came out of the jail that they put him in, and today they have to negotiate with him, because he knew that the one thing he had on his side was truth and time. The time is on the side of the oppressed today. It's against the oppressed. And truth is on the side of the oppressed today. It's against the oppressor. You don't need anything else. So I would just like to say this in my conclusion. You'll see it. You'll see terrorism that will terrify you. And if you don't think you have blind yourself to the historic development of everything that's taking place on this earth today, you'll see other things. Why will you see them? Because as soon as people realize that it's impossible for a chicken to produce a duck egg, even though they both belong to the same family of fowl, so-called fowl, a chicken just doesn't have it within its system to produce a duck egg. It can't do it. It can only produce according to what that particular system was constructed to produce. The system of this country cannot produce freedom for an Afro-American. It is impossible for this system, this economic system, this political system, this social system, this system, period. It is impossible for it, as it stands, to produce freedom right now for the black man in this country. It's impossible. And if ever a chicken did produce a duck egg, I'm quite sure you'd say that it was certainly a revolutionary event.